You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora to our guest in the studio, the wonderful James Roque. How are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. It's very nice to see you. And it's very awesome to be chatting about this podcast that you have created called The Elephant in the Bedroom. What's it all about?
It's so weird to be like, yeah, I have a podcast. Every dude has a podcast right now. So this podcast is a podcast that me and my friend Chai Ling Huang made with RNZ. It's about... Okay, so basically 2 or 3 years ago, both Chai Ling and I realized that we both have a bias in our dating lives. We kind of looked back at our dating history and our ex partners and, you know, everything from ex-partners to casual dates. And we looked back at it and went, there's something going on here. Going on. We've both only ever dated white people. And we wanted to, and because Chai Ling and I are like really kind of staunch advocates when it comes to Asian representation in New Zealand, we kind of went, well, what's going on there?
You
know, we're out here calling for diversity in our films and TV, but what's going on in our dating lives? Why is that hella whitewashed? And so this show kind of came about from us just going, we should look into that. You know, what's happening there?
Quite a sticky conversation to have with yourself.
Oh yeah, big time. I think anytime that you do any like self-reflection where you have to be like brutally honest, you know, because I think it's always difficult because I think too, with when it comes to dating, no one wants to feel like who they're attracted to was like influenced by an external force. You know what I mean? Like people will love the idea that like, oh, I'm just attracted to this person. It's like magic. It's magic. You know, it's like chemistry. Yeah. You can't like, I don't want to taint that. And so the moment that you go, hey, maybe there was something that made you attracted to this, or like an external force or a systemic structure, like a social structure that forced you to like this type of person, people kind of like recoil from that. So that was definitely difficult to be like, oh man, what if you know, I wasn't just into these women and I got taught or conditioned to,
totally, yeah,
you know. So yeah, it was hard to answer your question.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's also quite a vulnerable thing to talk about that stuff in a public way. How did you guys approach making the podcast? Because I can imagine you sort of had to be a little bit protective of yourself at the same time and work out what your limits of what you wanted to talk about were and how you were going to discuss that. And how did you kind of decide to manage that with the podcast making?
Yeah. So for us, it was a massive deal that it was super important that we went into it with an openness, but also a kindness to not only ourselves, but to anyone listening or all our interview subjects, because I don't think it's productive to have this conversation and shame people out or like make people feel judged about things that they maybe didn't have control over. So for me, and both Chai Ling and I, it was really important to make sure that we went into it and we weren't like, you know, super judgy or like that we were just like honest and objective, as objective as we could be, but at the same time, you know, approach it with a bit of kindness. And especially because, so the thing that I missed out was it's called Elephant in the Bedroom because we're going on this investigation. We're going, why have we only ever dated white people?
Yeah.
But we're both currently in long-term relationships with Pākehā people, with white people. So, like, there was a duty of care that needed to be, like, you know, like, service there that, you know, I'm dragging my partner into this whole thing. She didn't ask for this, you know? Like, I'm out here being like, oh, why do I only like white people? And she's just like, what? Like, you know.
Including me?
Like, am I included in this? And so there was a, like, I wanted to make sure that that I approach that with sensitivity and
And I think it's a really interesting conversation because it is something that I think people maybe talk about with their mates, but you don't necessarily hear it in a public way because it is so hard to have these chats because people are people, and you know, the people you've dated are real people, but also there is like the systemic or these more like structural things that are going on that might shape that too, and those can be quite hard things to balance when you try to have those conversations.
Fully, totally. And I think too, like I said, no one wants to look at their dating lives and go like, was I racist life? You know, like no one wants to hear that. And as well, I don't know. It's just it's I think something that people talk about privately, and it's on the forefront of everyone's minds anyway. But yeah, no, I can't think of a pod that's done this before.
So no, me either.
I mean, who knows? Maybe doing this in a public forum isn't the best way to do it. But for me, the end game is that maybe people listen to it, and whether or not they agree to disagree, they, you know, they like it, they don't like it. If they go away and are able to look at their past dating history through a critical lens, or maybe like be honest about certain things about themselves, that's a victory to me. Like,
totally, you know. Yeah. I mean, when we talk about like decolonization as well and decolonial practices in your own life, that's a really tricky thing that I think everyone in Aotearoa should be trying to reckon with in some way, because it's part of being tangata tiriti, especially, or, you know, Pākehā, Tauiwi. It's a really important part of what we should be doing. And it can be such a difficult way to have these conversations. And something like this podcast can be a really positive step to think about how in your life there's all these ways it intersects with these big questions of the world. How did you find people you spoke to for the podcast reacted to the subject or to the conversation itself?
I found that everyone was ready to talk about it. Everyone had so much to say. Everyone was like dying to put their two cents into the conversation. And I do think that I do think that it's like to the point that like people said so much that it made me anxious that I was having to like cut some of it out. And like, you know, that's a 5-episode show. And so to discuss such a nuanced and broad topic, that I had so much anxiety to be like, oh, what if we miss this? Or like, what if we can't talk about every intersection? Like, oh, we haven't talked enough about queer issues within the race and dating and that intersection. Yeah. Or we haven't talked about the privilege that males experience in this realm. So, but I did find that a lot of people were like, this was something that was on the forefront of everyone's minds, but for some reason, like, no one's like outwardly really talking about it.
Yeah,
and like,
really hard,
I think again, it goes back to, like I said, it's no one wants to have the chat because it's so hard.
Yeah,
right?
Like, totally.
Yeah.
So I guess, as you said, like, it's a victory if these conversations are kind of maybe prompted from this, or if people sort of take something from it. But who are you hoping listens to this podcast? Who would you sort of want to be your target audience, I guess? Are you wanting it to be for anyone in particular, or are you kind of like, everyone could get something out of this?
To be honest with you, I think everyone can. I think this show is for anyone who wants to better themselves. It's for anyone who wants to understand themselves more fully, or like, yeah, just like get to know themselves better. I do think that, like, depending on what community come from, or like socioeconomic background you have, or ethnic background you have, you will take away something different from it. Because there's like, on the surface, the show is talking about dating and love and sex, etc., but at the core of it, it's actually asking some pretty big questions around like systemic racism and white supremacy in Aotearoa. So I think, you will get something different. You know, like, for me, the biggest people, the people that I want to listen to it the most are the people that just say, oh, I'm attracted to only Asian girls and I'm a white guy, but that's just my type. Not specifically white guys, but people who say that sentence, oh, but, you know, like, I'm attracted to one group of people only, and that's my type, and nothing went into that. That just happened. I was born
just,
like this.
It just like, came out of a vacuum.
I was like, I don't know. I don't know if that's true.
Seems fishy to me.
It's like, that should be open for investigation and critique, I think, like, and self-critique too.
Totally.
And so I want people to be able to, you know, have that conversation. And like, and then after that, asking, okay, now that I've understood why I'm attracted to this group of people, asking, what's the deal with that? Should I change it? Can I change it? Like, is it morally okay? Like, am I fetishizing these people, or am I excluding a certain group of people by going, oh, I'm not even, like, just ruling out a whole group of people based off, like, one or two? Like, it's like sexual discrimination and sexual racism, right? And so, Yeah, when you ask like who the target audience is, I'd say people who just say, oh, but that's just my type.
Yeah, you know? That's interesting. Maybe everyone's like, I've got a mate who might need to listen to this.
Everyone does, yeah. I reckon. I think truly everyone in your circle, like every single person has a person in their circle.
And it's kind of, as you say as well, it's not a judgment. It's
no, just, not at all.
This is like, it's one of those things that happens and people haven't talked about it really in this public way. For yourself, did you feel like you learned something about yourself through this, James? Do you feel like you came out the other side of making this podcast and were like, okay, I'm understanding a wee bit more about me?
Oh, big time. Yeah. I think there were a lot of blind spots that I'd learned about myself doing the show. I'm not going to spoil too much, but in one of the episodes, I go through an old bit of stand-up that I did talking about the desexualization of Asian men. And, you know, back in like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I was doing that stand-up being like, yeah, I'm empowering Asian guys, you know, I'm doing this thing. The whole bit was about how I don't, like white women aren't into Asian dudes. Like that was the premise of the joke. And I was like, yeah, I'm empowering Asian men. But then like after talking to more women of color, after talking to experts, etc., about it, I kind of started to go, oh, there's still like a focus on whiteness here that I'm not seeing. And so like it kind of flipped the script on a lot of different things that I used to think was like empowerment, and made me understand myself, and just a little bit more. And it was that those sorts of things were difficult to kind of grapple with, especially knowing that, oh man, this is going out to a public show, you know? Like I'd signed up for this like really harrowing conversation publicly, which was really interesting.
I think it sounds like, though, you've set yourself really good parameters of support within this show. And for listeners as well, there is that support parameter there too. You're coming into a safe space. Yeah. You are, you know, you're coming into an environment where people are having these conversations with openness and like curiosity at the heart of it, not judgment.
Yeah, definitely. I think I want to stress that because I think when you hear this topic and you hear, oh, they're talking about sex and race and dating and they're looking at where they intersect, like, am I going to feel judged going into this? Like, I would just want people to approach it with the same openness that we did. And like, I want to just also give a shout out to like Chai Ling and my friend who I do the show with. I don't think that I could have done the show with anyone else because I've known her for a long time and we've always had frank conversations like this in our everyday friendship, but also to our producers Ruby and Kelly, who really made sure that we were looked after during like this,
awesome.
You know, this period.
James, if someone's just tuned in and they want to know what we're talking about and where they can listen to it, what are we talking about?
So we're talking about, you know, the fact that maybe you don't date a certain type of race of people. So maybe you should think about that. Now, we're talking about my new podcast. Oh, God, I sound like a dude on his first date. Like such a red flag. You go on a date with someone and he's like, hey, I actually have a podcast.
And guess what?
Have you heard of a guy named Joe Rogan? You're like, oh, God. we're talking about my podcast with my friend Chai Ling Huang, The Elephant in the Bedroom, drops on RNZ first episode on the 14th of February. Cool. It's actually a podcast and a doco series, so it's like a short doco series that it will go out on social on Tahi, which is the new platform by RNZ for the rangatahi of New Zealand. February 14th, we're here to not ruin your Valentine's Day, but make your Valentine's Day smarter.
Valentine's Day. I like that. That's great. Hey, thank you so much, James. It's awesome to have you in the studio. Always a pleasure. We'll see you again soon, I'm sure. And congrats and good luck with the podcast rollout.
Thanks for having me.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.